Welcome to another episode of Founders Podcast. I'm your host, Ash, and this is a show where I interview proven founders and industry experts who share their stories, strategies, and insights to help you build, launch, and grow your business. In this episode, I talk to Rao, the founder of SaaS Logic, a super helpful tool for business that sells softwares online. Rao has lots of experience making big computer programs for big companies like IBM and GE. About 15 years ago, he started his own company called XSpeed Software. But he noticed a problem. Every time companies wanted to sell their softwares online, they had to deal with a lot of complicated stuff, like figuring out how to charge customer and keep track of payments. That's why Rao came up with SaaS Logic. It's like a magic tool that makes it super easy for businesses to handle all the tricky parts of selling softwares online. With SaaS Logic, companies can set their prices, send invoices to customers, and collect payments without any hassle. So I hope you enjoy it. Okay. Rao, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ash. I'm glad to be on your show.
Great. Do you have a favorite quote, something that inspires or motivates you that you would like to share with our audience?
Something that I always go with, I mean, I'm not sure where I heard, but somebody said, initially you have to go slow to be able to go faster later, right? Yeah. So that's something I find it always useful when you're really trying to do something, you know. Going slow actually sets you up with the foundation, and then, you know, you could go faster.
Yeah, definitely. I can relate to that. I was born in India in a very small city. And I think because me and my brother, my dad used to take us, you know, he was learning how to walk. And I was also holding his fingers to, you know, make it run faster. So it reminds me that time because he used to say, walk slow to run fast, you know, something like that. So
that reminds me. A lot of things we do, you know, software development and things like that. If you don't take your time to really set things properly initially, foundation, yeah, so it's going to be, you know, wobbly.
Yeah, definitely. Great. So tell us about SaaS Logic. What does the product do? Who is it for? And what's the main problem you're helping to solve?
So SaaS Logic main problem at this point is we help SaaS companies or anybody that is in the subscription based revenue model. We help them to really monetize their products better, right? Mm-hmm. The product basically handles subscription management and then billing, and then notifications. So these are the primary things that we handle. Mm-hmm. Subscription management on the surface may sound very simple and trivial, actually, but if you really want to do it well, if you really want it to be flexible, you know, it is quite complex. So because it will have impact on your downstream financial systems and everything else. So there are a lot of things you have to handle. So people might be tempted to really roll their own subscription management. You know, initially that may not be difficult, but as you start growing, you look for flexibility. And to bring that flexibility into that pricing management is quite complex. So that's why, I mean, we always say, hey, you focus on your product, your core problem, your mm-hmm. core value. And then this is a basically necessary technical services that you need. And then rely on us. We are trying to be experts in this area.
Great. So I've been part of a couple of startups myself. And most of the time we have these kind of restrictions from our, you know, tax man perspective. Mm-hmm. Plus we have this kind of compliances issues in UK where you have to be compliant with all kind of transactions which you're going through or taking payments from your customer. Mm-hmm. One of the products we use here is Stripe. I don't know if you're aware of them.
Yeah, we have integration with them. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So that's where I was actually inclining to. Is it like you guys are competitor to Stripe or is it something built on top of it?
So Stripe has two sites, right? They initially, they used to be a payment gateway, right? So that means if you want to collect payments through credit cards or bank ACH, you basically use Stripe to collect the payment, right? But the whole subscription management, that is actually a layer on top of that. So Stripe actually started building that subscription management also in the last couple of years, right? In a way, we are competing for the subscription billing, but we are also actually partner with them for collecting the payments, right? We don't have, I mean, we have a white label payment gateway also. So in a way, we are actually competing with Stripe for subscription management and billing aspects of it.
Right.
But we also have integration with them. And then similarly, we have integration with other payment gateways such as Authorize.net. And then we also have integration with the Razorpay for billing in India, things like that. So yeah, it's we're a partner as well as a competitor, I would say.
Right, okay. So if I reiterate it, you guys have built on something on top of all these payment processing companies, which actually make it easier for founders or businesses to take payments from their customers, primarily for subscription-based model. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Great. Because when I remember, and it's a very, very vague memory, when we wanted to set up a subscription model for one of the apps, we had to not just create products, pricing into the Stripe, but also had to make sure that we are managing it at our end in terms of who is subscribed to it, what subscription plan that user is subscribed to it, also what we have to, like if there is a paywall, that which part of the paywall we have to enable them to showcase based on the plan, etc. So it got a little bit complicated when we reached to that point. It became itself a product, our home product. So I understand the startup founders' challenges which could come across. So let's talk about where the story begins. Where did you guys got this idea for SaaS Logic?
So it came from two angles. Before I started this SaaS Logic, like you mentioned in the starting, I have a services business, Xpeed Soft, which I've been running for the last 15 years. As part of SaaS Logic, I mean, SaaS Logic is basically a services company. We develop custom solutions, SaaS products, and data analytics products for our customers. So we, as part of that journey, we came across two, three scenarios where we had to build the subscription management into the products that we were building for our customers, right? So as part, because of that, we saw the pattern. Okay, there is actually a complexity here. And instead of building, if every SaaS product is building into their products, you know, if somebody can offer that as a service, they don't have to go through this complexity. They can straight away focus on their core value, core product. So that is one thought. So another thing is, since we came from the background of building products, complex SaaS products, one of the things that I wanted to do is, over a period of time, build a concept, you know, some kind of SaaS operating system, right? Meaning it's not just one aspect of it. It allows you to, the idea, the broader idea is, allow you to build the product easily without really spending, like, you know, 1 year to build a MVP. Can we do that in, like, you know, a couple of months, right? Using easy to use tools. And then also provide monetization aspect, and also provide small tools like a CRM and things like that. Instead of using something else, can we provide one platform where you usually build it, you monetize it, you manage it? So that is a broad vision that I started with, and which is, of course, very broad. As we started going towards that, obviously, this just subscription management is a key for every product to be successful. So we said, let us actually launch this monetization piece as a first product. We're also trying to follow up with actually low-code platform, which we are going to announce in a month or so, which allows you to build these products really fast, right? So it's a couple of things, basically observation from the products that we build and my own passion for building kind of SaaS operating system where everything comes together, and then founders will, we don't have to use gazillion tools and technologies.
Great. And when you had this epiphany, did you looked into the market? Did you, were there any other products? What was going on and at that time? And what did you see from your research that encouraged you to move ahead with it?
I mean, there are products, you know, for example, ChargeBee is there. Stripe also doing some. Stripe actually started doing later, actually, but recurrently, this kind of they do subscription management. But we are trying to build a bigger ecosystem, so we wanted to provide a better experience for our customers in terms of integration, and not only integration, and then also our merchants will have the customers, right? The customers that are subscribing to them. We wanted to provide a platform where we take care of their customers also, right? Their customers can come to, we provide a customer portal. They can come to that and they can manage their subscriptions, self-service. So we saw some gaps in the industry. And also our vision is a little bit bigger than just subscription management. So we wanted to have a control over the experience that we provide. So that's why we started with this piece, subscription management as our first product.
Right, right. And I looked into your portal also, and I found that you already had, so I want to talk about like the, where did you got your early adopters? I'm guessing the information is processing into my brain, and I'm thinking that because you already have a service business, that might be your primary way of getting it. But before we jump into that, you know, a lot of our listeners are founders. They come from you know, different found entrepreneurial background. So I'm eager to learn more about the person behind this venture. Can you take us back to your roots? Share with our listeners about your upbringing, childhood. How did your early experiences shape your journey and eventually led you to become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in India, and then you know, I obviously, just like a lot of people, I worked at software companies in India initially, Infosys. That was my first job. I just came to US about 30 years ago. Worked with large companies like GE and IBM, where I was doing a lot of technical, you know, architecting large scale solutions in the manufacturing and retail industries and things like that. But I always had this entrepreneurial, you know, itch in the back of my mind. And then, you know, but still, I was just going with the flow, right?
But were there any key influences from your family or surrounding that played a significant role for that?
Not really. I mean, I always had this independent kind of spirit. I just tried to do things my own way. So I just realized a long time ago when we got into the job, I wasn't very comfortable in working in a bigger, large corporate kind of segments. But I did that for 15 years though, right? after a while, I just, I mean, I came from a rural background, and then, you know, my family, I did not have a lot of education and things like that. So I had that a little bit of fear to really jump out and then start businesses initially, right? I think it took about 15 years for me to muster my courage, and then and I said, and I think I can do things on my own now. So, and also had I had experience working with a large customer base, and you know, in very large projects. I traveled quite a bit across the cities in the US, and also went to different countries and things like that. I gained a lot of exposure, and after that, my confidence went up, right? And then I said, this is the time to really start exploring. And luckily, things also started falling in place naturally for me. With the 15 years of working experience here, I established relationship with people, and then wherever I worked with, I think I had good relationships. And then when I said I wanted to start Xpeed Software as a services business, I had people that worked with me ready to, you know, work with me.
So I'm derailing myself again from the conversation, but what sort of services you were providing in that organization? And then, I mean, I understand that after that you build a lot of tools for your customers, then you move to SaaS logic, but I want to listen to the struggles you faced in the initial phase.
Yeah, I mean, so the solutions are very similar to what I was doing. I was a software developer. I mean, we used to build a lot of custom software solutions, like, you know, web applications or and the data analytics sometimes, and, you know, things like that. That's what I was doing before I started the company. And the idea was, you know, I worked with a pretty large companies. And my thought was, can we bring the solutions in an effective manner instead of having a 50 people team? Can we just start providing the similar services to customers in a very effective and efficient manner, right? So that's the thought for the initial business. And we started providing custom web applications, mobile applications. And I come from the data background as well. So some amount of data analytics. Those were the solutions. Initial days, the struggles was were like, you know, I was the only one person. I mean, I just started as one person and worked through that. I mean, soon after that, I got about 3-4 people. But those were in India, right? I was here in the US. So there is a, you know, time difference. And then, so there were days, actually year for a few years, I was working anywhere from 16 to 18 hours every day. Because my day starts at 7, and then I go back, and then evening, you know, the team in India starts, right? And I'm the only one here, and then I just want to make sure that they have all the information that is required for them to be functional the whole day. So my day goes on till like my night goes to 2 o'clock in the morning, right? That continued that journey for about 5-6 years, and after that, the team came up. I think I went from, you know, 3 people to 50 people in the span of a year, and then, you know, luckily I had good people to start taking some of the responsibilities, and yeah, that was good experience, and then. I'm actually fortunate to have people that believed in me in my initial days. So
that's really important, because if you don't believe in your leaders or the idea behind where the company is focusing upon, it's very difficult to work for the organization.
Yeah, in
my opinion. So that's
luckily I had customers that believed in me, as well as. People also, I think I got some really good people to work with me. And some of the people that started 15 years ago, they're still with me today. So that's one aspect that has been really good for me.
So that's really good. That's really good. Okay, so let's get back to our topic then. So when you were working with your previous organization as providing services, web portals, and different pieces of software, you found out that this is the piece of tools which every business required. One of them was payments, specifically for subscription. You built the tool and you launched the MVP, because I saw on your website here, you were like launched it on Product Hunt, and you were in the Product Hunt, like product of the day or something. So tell us more about that part of the story. When you launched, how did you acquire your first few customers? What were the strategies you're going through, you know, taking steps?
You know, I went with a little unorthodox way into this product development. We didn't really have a lot of initial customers to work with us as we were developing product, right? Most of the times, that's probably everybody tells you to really have at least a couple of customers to work with you to validate what you're doing and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really do that, you know, because I knew that there was a market, and then I knew that we implemented for 3 customers in the past. With that experience, we just went ahead full blown, right? And then we developed the product, and then later once we reached a point, it's about 2022. That's when we started looking for customers, actually beta customers.
Right.
So it's we thought it is it was a little bit more challenging than I thought, for sure. Mm-hmm. Right. Market is definitely there is a lot of competition, and then also Stripe actually started competing. Right. Mm-hmm. I never thought Stripe actually was into the subscriptions. So in the last couple of years, they really started making a push into subscription management. That was a little challenging, but always what I found is there are some in the SaaS area. There are some, you know, in the initial days, you don't recognize this as a problem, right? You just start doing it manually, Excel spreadsheets. And then you'll have a couple of people that remember when to send an invoice and that kind of stuff. You don't see that as an issue when you have, you know, when you're in the small stage, right?
Yeah.
So we actually started going after companies like that. You know, maybe they just started a few years ago, but their revenues are, you know, maybe 1 or 2 million range, right? So they don't really see that as a problem. We started explaining. See, can you imagine you going from, let's say you have like 100 customers today, right? Mm-hmm. And then what's your goal? Some of them say, we want to have like, you know, 5,000 customers. And then can you, I mean, how do you send, how do you know when to send an invoice, how to renew their subscriptions today? Well, we have one person that is managing it. We have Excel spreadsheets. They don't even recognize that as a problem. Yeah. And we started explaining, what if we just automate everything that 1 or 2 people doing, and your customers will get notifications when the payments are due, or they can leave the credit card on the file and we'll automatically collect the payments. And then we'll automatically send the invoice at the end of every month to your customers. And we allow them to really just change. What if we just take out all of these things for you? It doesn't matter whether you have 100 customers or 5,000 customers. You don't have to add people to really support that. And then for some of them, of course, they don't understand. Some of them, at least luckily, they started understanding. The lights went off for them. So that's how we got our initial customers. We went after small customers who have higher ambitions. And then we started painting the picture of what it would look like when they really grow. So that's how we got them. So
What was the marketing strategy? Were you just doing outbound marketing on LinkedIn or just sending emails? What was you doing?
Yeah, we have both, actually. We have marketing and social media platforms like LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And then we also have email campaigns that are going out, mostly outbound. Our website still hasn't been generating the inbound leads. Mostly outbound at this point. Still, I think, outbound, yeah. We're working on tweaking our website so that we can start attracting some inbound leads. We have email campaigns that are being sent, I think, in an orchestrated manner. And then we also go after Twitter and LinkedIn, Facebook, actually. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I want to talk more about, like, what is the procedure of a startup founder or a business want to get onboarded with SaaS Logic, and what are the steps we have to take, and how does it work with the people who already have customers and then the people who are just launching straight forward? But before we jump into that, would you be able to give us a sense of how size of the business, you know, where are you in terms of early adopters, etc.?
And team we have, I mean, I would say we are less than 20 customers at this point. But we are actively growing, and then our marketing campaigns are, improving. I actually got a VP of sales and marketing a few months ago. We are putting a lot of structures in place, but we have a long way to go. Yeah. So
Indeed, indeed.
I strongly believe we have a product that is definitely very competitive and very flexible. I mean, one of the things probably you would ask is how, you know, there are a lot of companies. I mean, how, what is the thing that you are bringing to the table? Like, how are we different? One thing I would say is there are a lot of billing scenarios, complex. Some of them are very simple, like, you know, hey, you pay, this is the service you get, you're paying $100 a month, that's it, done, right? Simple, that is very simple. And there could be more complex things, like, you know, your billing is based on usage, right? Consumption. And then there will be different tiers. You know, if your usage is in this tier, this is the unit price. If it is in this stage, you know, this is the pricing. So you'll have tiered pricing. And then various scenarios like that. You bring any complex scenario, it doesn't matter how complex it is, we'll be able to accommodate it, right? Because it's not that we are giving you, like, you know, four or five different types of plans. We actually allow you to define your product. We allow you to define what features your product offers. And then we allow you to define what are your pricing parameters. Is it number of users? Is it number of API calls? Is it amount of storage consumed? Or is it just like a flat fee? So we allow you to define what your pricing parameters also. So now you define a pricing plan, bringing those features and then these parameters together. You can define your pricing plan, right? So what it does is, to SaaS founders, see, one of the things I found is when you build a product and then launch it, we don't know actually what is the right pricing for the product. It's almost like an experiment that you have to conduct to discover your price point. If you don't have a platform that allows you to really define pricing plans as and when you need, right? You'll be slow to really find your price point, and you'll be held hostage by your own product. So that's where we really are very helpful. You know, you can just start a pricing plan, put it out, and see how it, what kind of traction it gets. Right? If it's not sticking out in the market, go and change it. While you are honoring the product that your pricing plan you already put out, you can create a new one, and then you can, sunset the old one. Yeah. So this kind of flexibility is required, and that's where we really shine. Handling any complexity of the pricing and allowing you to really modify the plans as you need, and then conduct your sort of price discovery experiment, right? So, and then adding one more thing.
No problem. Yeah.
So one more differentiation that we bring is, like I said, I was saying initially, we actually not only think about our customers, our customers are merchants, right? We actually provide a self-service portal for your customers also, right? Merchant has customers.
So the people who are subscribing to your customers, basically.
Yeah. We provide a sophisticated platform for them also to really come and see, what did I subscribe to? What are my invoices? Can I, if there is a payment, I can make it. If I want to make changes to your subscriptions, I can make it. All those things they can just do on their own. That way we are basically minimizing the support time that you as a merchant has to spend on your customers. We won't completely eliminate it, but it can minimize quite a bit.
Indeed. And you're absolutely right. Stripe has actually started working on that sort of dashboard for the merchant's customer also. It's very basic right now. It just shows how many subscriptions you have, but nothing close to what you guys are doing. So one of the things which I picked up when you were explaining it is, like, speed is also a factor, right? How fast a business can onboard with SaaS logic and then quickly start, because one of the challenge we have as a founders is, okay, we're building our product, but then suddenly we realize, oh, we have to charge for it, and then we suddenly know that it's going to take us 6 sprints more to mm-hmm. even implement something. So yeah. what is the average speed of your customers to get onboarded and start charging? Because that might be something very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the product. Depending on how much of integration is required. If your product has to, like I said, pricing is based, if you're a software product, it's based on the features that you offer, right?
Yeah.
Your product has, 20 features. And when you're creating pricing plan, you need to decide what features go into which plan, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to have ability to define we need to define all those features on SaaS like for your product, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you need an integration between that pricing plan and your product? If it needs, there will be a little bit of code that you have to write. Our approach is we actually handhold our customers. It's not that, mm-hmm. hey, just go to the documentation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the value that we bring to the table. Given that we came from the background of building products, we truly understand the pain that SaaS founders go through when they have to integrate with third-party products. That's why we make it as easy as possible. We have very good APIs, and then we also have user interface. Actually, you can embed. If you have a product, let's say you have a website, you want your customers to really click on subscription on your website, and then you want them to go through the journey of selecting the plan and then paying for it and all those things. We actually mm-hmm. have embedded user experience. You can embed that into your website. We'll walk through everything, boom. And then the subscription will be created in our on our side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you're a software product, when the user logs into your product, you may want to validate if the company behind this user has right subscription to this platform. So you may have to make a call to SaaS Logic to find out what kind of subscription they have and all those things. That code probably that the product team has to write will help with that, actually. We'll work with the development team, make sure that they are successful. So all these things, if it's a minimal integration, we can do it in a week or 2 weeks at the most. Right.
Okay, that's pretty fast, actually.
Yeah.
So let's take a very basic use case. Let's say a founder with a flat fee of, let's say, I don't know, $99 a month. Mm. And the moment their customer subscribe to that, they have access to everything. So it's very simple, just a simple button. But the magic is who has subscribed to my product, how long they have been. Right. What is the churn rate, and everything is included in your
thing. And our side, we give all those reporting, and then we'll give a reporting on revenue. What is your monthly recurring revenue, annual recurring revenue? What is the churn rate? We give all these things as part of the box, and you'll have the dashboard and all that. Mm. And so the kind of plan you're explaining,
we can do
if your development team is ready to integrate, we can do it in like a few days. Right.
Really?
Yeah. A week.
Oh my God, that's fantastic! Because that's something which founders would love to. Because you see, what happens is when we go through the accelerator programs,
mm-hmm.
The accelerator programs invest and get some equity out of the product, but then they want us to deliver the MVP ASAP so that you can go to the market and test it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So something like that within a week would be like game changing for us. So let's talk about the revenue model. What are your fees? How do you guys charge to the customers so that you can make money, and is it competitive in the market?
Yeah. We have different plans, but we give all the features that we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, we have extremely good notification system. And we have integrations with multiple products, including QuickBooks, and then accounting. Integration with the accounting system is actually extremely required, actually, to conduct your business. So we have all these features. We include all these features in every plan that we offer to our customers.
Mm-hmm.
We are a revenue-based, we tend to charge about 1.5% of the revenue that flows through our system. And of course, as you become bigger and we can always, we have custom plans. We also have startups where, you know, they're starting up, they're building a product. You can apply for a startup plan with us. We actually cover you for a year or until you reach $1 million revenue, right? Mm-hmm. 1 year or 1 million, whichever comes first. But you have to, we have to see that it's a qualified business, meaning there is a serious idea, there are serious founders, and there is actually somebody committed to invest in them, like funding, right? If you see those characteristics, we actually work with you to make sure that you're not burned while you're trying to stand up your business. So startup plan is there, and our general fee is about 1.5%. And then as you start growing, of course, you're negotiable.
Okay. So basically, you charge 1.2 or was 1.5?
1.5.
1.5. So is it on top of the payment processors, for example, Razor or Stripe?
Yes. They charge, Stripe charges about 3% for credit card processing. And then of course, ACH is pretty minimal. It's ours is on top of that because we bring a lot of value for
Indeed. I mean, it's impossible to operate without, charging on top of Stripe if you are a payment gateway or payment processing unit in between, right? So I totally get that. Great. So, so could you share a compelling case study that highlights how a company leveraged SaaS logic solution to achieve success and solve the key business challenge? Because that will really help our listeners because let's say, for example, if they could be, because most of our listeners are SaaS founders, right? If you could share a case study for a SaaS business, then they could easily relate to it and potentially have some more understanding of the product.
Yeah. So we worked with a company that basically helps schools actually collect their tuition fees. Right. Mm-hmm. So school fees also like a subscription, right? I mean, they either they pay on a monthly basis or quarterly basis. As the schools are trying to collect these fees, it's a lot of manual effort for them. Mm-hmm. So we developed a system where that is integrated with SaaS logic to see every grade as a sort of subscription, right? And it'll have quarterly payments for that. So we helped the schools to really collect the tuition fees where, you know, tuition is subscription fee every quarter that we did. We also helped another company in the same education space where they provide services to really a bus service to fetch the kids from the schools or wherever they are when the parents are away. This company will have a responsibility to go and then fetch the kids from the facility to home or from school to daycare and things like that. So that they've been growing and then they wanted to automate it. So, I mean, this is a type of the customer that I was explaining initially. You know, they didn't have any automation, but when we started explaining, we can take away all your manual effort and then you don't have to do anything. We implemented that solution and then we're extremely happy with that. We're working with another LMS company, a learning management system. The content on the learning management system is basically a subscription. We handle that
too. Any numbers would you be able to share? For example, the school was you before using SaaS logic and after using SaaS logic, how they improved, what percentage of churn was reduced, mm-hmm. like that.
I don't have quite the numbers at this point. It has been a recent. It is we have to see. Mm-hmm. but definitely we reduced the manual effort. Almost, right. You know, they don't have to do anything actually nowadays. When they don't receive an email or whatever, they may get a call. But other than that, on a regular basis, sending invoices, collecting payments, those things, the education company that I said they're fetching kids from one location to another location. They used to make calls every month or every day, sometimes based on when their schedule is. Hey, are you still interested in using our service? These are manual calls, and then sometimes they manually charge credit cards. They send the invoices. They have to verify every month. It's quite a bit of manual effort. So after she came onto our platform, she is very happy with the amount of manual work that went down, almost zero now.
Zero. Okay. Got it. Yeah. Great. So you know what? I want to talk a lot about this because it's very interesting to me because it's connected. Yeah. It relate to the challenge because we have some, but we have limitation of time. So before we wrap up, I have a lightning round where I would like to ask you six quick fire questions, and you can answer them as quickly as possible. Is that okay with you?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump into it. Great. So question number one. What's one of the best pieces of business advice you have received?
You know, you can take any idea, and then it doesn't have to be a stunning idea. Take any idea, when you do it with efficiency and then new technologies, you know, that's an idea. You don't have to look for, earth-shattering ideas.
Right. Okay. So it's execution part. Okay.
Good. There's always, we could take the boring idea and then use the new technology and then do it much better.
Yeah, got it. What book would you recommend to our audience and why?
I read, more than business book, I read Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, which actually helps you drive yourself, conduct yourself in the business environment, how to see things. A lot of times, your own limitation, the way you think, the way you perceive yourself is actually what is causing how you behave in the world. I think that actually gives you a framework for you to really conduct yourself.
Right. Okay. What one attribute or characteristic in your mind of a successful founder?
Don't get bogged into details. You need to have a macro view of things. When you really get into details, you leave the bigger things.
Got it.
Don't lose forest for trees, right?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. What's your favorite personal productivity tool or habit?
Habit is, I say always, be conscious of yourself, what you're saying, what you're doing, being conscious of things, conscious of yourself is extremely important. That actually helps not only in business, in your life, right?
Indeed. Yeah. What's a new or a crazy business idea you would love to pursue if you had time?
Well, an idea. So there are three things that are happening in the technology world, right? We have artificial intelligence, blockchain, and then robotics, right? Something that converges, at least two of these things, if not three of those things. And that helps, since I am in this software development area, can tremendously help automate a lot of things. Most likely, I'm just thinking, AI and then blockchain at this point. Combination of those two things.
Combination of these two. Okay. And last but not least, what's an interesting or fun fact about you that most people don't know?
Interesting and fun fact about me. Don't know. I'm a fitness freak. I just go to gym all the time. I don't know if it is fun, but maybe people don't know about that. And then that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Great. Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your inspiring journey and the impactful work you're doing through SaaS Logic. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Founders Podcast.
Thank you, Ash. It has been a good conversation.
Great. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Founders Podcast. I hope you found our conversation with Rao insightful and inspiring. If you want to get in touch with Rao, just search Rao Chajalra on LinkedIn, or you can go to saaslogic.io. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Great. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and stay updated on future interviews with proven founders and industry experts. We have a lineup of incredible guests and valuable insights coming your way. Stay inspired, stay motivated, and keep building.